Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. Today, we're going to get into FDA compliance, specifically for injection molding companies. Now, I know our listeners are pretty familiar with the FDA and how it works, but today we're going to unpack some of the finer points and trends.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to sort of go beyond that surface level. You know, you might be surprised to know that a lot of everyday products are impacted by the FDA's quality system regulation.
You mean like the QSR?
Exactly, the QSR. Or 21 CFR Part 820, to be super official.
Okay.
This really sets the stage for how injection molding companies, you know, need to approach quality throughout their whole process. And that's for, you know, everything from your coffee maker to your phone case.
So it's not just about medical devices then?
I mean, no, not at all.
Okay.
Although, you know, medical devices are a huge part of it for sure.
Right.
But the QSR covers a really wide range of products.
So let's break down the QSR a little bit.
Yeah.
What are some of the specific clauses that, you know, injection molding companies really need to be on top of?
Well, one that I think is really interesting and one that often trips companies up is Clause 820.70. It's all about production and process controls.
Oh, okay.
And you see, it's not enough to just design a great product.
Right.
The QSR demands that manufacturers really establish these meticulous processes for everything. I'm talking about handling materials, controlling that molding environment. I mean, we're talking documented procedures, regular equipment checks, and doing these consistent quality checks throughout, you know, that whole production run.
It sounds really thorough. Like, are we talking House of Cards thorough here?
Exactly. That's a great way to put it.
Yep.
You know, if one card is out of place, the whole thing could just, you know.
Yeah.
Topple.
Right.
And this is something that the FDA takes very seriously.
Of course, yeah.
Especially when we're talking about medical devices. I mean, just imagine, you know, a tiny little injection molded component in a heart valve. If that manufacturing process isn't really tightly controlled, even the slightest deviation could have, I mean, serious consequences.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that makes the importance of material selection super clear. It's like choosing ingredients, you know, for a life-saving recipe. You can't just swap things out on a whim.
You got it. And that's where the FDA has very strict biocompatibility standards, especially for anything that comes into contact with the human body.
Yeah.
I mean, think about implantable devices or even something as simple as a syringe, you know. You really need to be certain that those materials that are being used aren't going to cause adverse reactions or, you know, compromise that device's functionality in any way.
So beyond just picking the right material, what are some of the like specific challenges that companies face when it comes to, you know, proving that biocompatibility to the FDA?
One of the biggest challenges is staying on top of, well, you know, just how much those biocompatibility testing standards are changing.
Mm-hmm.
The FDA doesn't just have one test for everything.
Right.
It really depends on the device's intended use and, of course, the materials involved.
Okay.
So, you know, for instance, if you have a material that's used in a short-term contact device, something like a dental tool, you know, that's going to have way different testing requirements than something that's intended to be like a permanent implant.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So companies really need to do, you know, extensive research. And a lot of times they have to work with, you know, these specialized labs to make sure they're meeting the right standards.
I'm starting to see why navigating the FDA world can feel like a real labyrinth.
Oh, yeah.
But. You mentioned documentation earlier, and I know that plays a massive role in proving compliance. So is that where that compliance diary analogy comes in?
Yeah, it is. Think of it this way. You know, your documentation, that's a chronological record of how you've met every single FDA requirement. It's not just about, you know, checking those boxes.
Right.
It's about really demonstrating that you deeply understand those regulations and showing how you've implemented them, like in every facet of your operation. So this means detailed records of everything. I mean, from those material specifications, supplier qualifications, all the way to, you know, process validation and those operator training records.
I mean, that sounds like a mountain of paperwork, though.
It can be.
Is there any way to, like, make that more efficient without, you know, sacrificing accuracy?
Well, that's where that shift towards digital documentation comes in. And we're not just talking about scanning paper documents. You know, we're talking about purpose-built software that's designed specifically to manage quality and compliance data. And these systems offer features like automated workflows, electronic signatures, and even audit trails. And that not only streamlines the process, but also, you know, minimizes those risks of human error.
Okay, I'm seeing the appeal here, but to switching to a digital system like that, I mean, that's got to present its own challenges, right? Like, it's not just a flip of a switch.
You're absolutely right. It takes, you know, careful planning, execution. You know, companies need to make sure that data integrity is there. They've got to train employees on that new system.
Right.
And they also have to validate that it meets, you know, those FDA requirements. And, you know, they may even need to invest in some new hardware, some new software, and cybersecurity. You know, that becomes a really big concern. But ultimately, you know, I think those benefits of increased efficiency, that improved data accuracy, the enhanced traceability, I think all of that really outweighs those, you know, initial hurdles that you have to jump through.
So it's a strategic investment in the long-term health of the company and potentially, you know, even a competitive advantage.
It is. It is. And, you know, it's not just about staying ahead of the curve. It's about fostering that culture of compliance within your organization. That's something actually that we can dive into a little bit deeper in the next part of our, you know, our deep dive.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But for now, we've covered a lot of ground, you know, from the nitty-gritty of the QSR to biocompatibility and even, you know, digital documentation. I mean, it's...
Yeah, we've just scratched the surface here. There's so much more to uncover.
Absolutely. So welcome back to the deep dive. We just left off talking about, you know, building that culture of compliance within an organization. What does that, you know, what does that actually look like in practice?
Well, you know, it's more than just having that big stack of SOPs, right? You really have to kind of weave compliance into the you know, the very fabric of the company. And it starts with leadership. They got to set the tone, you know, from the top down. They need to understand those regulations and champion them and really make sure everyone gets it. Compliance isn't just some hurdle you got to get over.
Right.
It's essential to the company's mission, its values, the whole thing.
Right, right. That makes sense. But how do you translate that from like a high level idea into something tangible?
Right.
You know, something that employees can really connect with.
Yeah, I think one of the most powerful tools is using real world case studies.
Okay.
In your training program. So instead of just throwing like abstract rules at people, you know, you present them with actual scenarios based on real events.
Okay.
And show them, you know, what are the consequences of compliance? What are the consequences if you're not compliant?
Can you give an example of what that might look like?
Oh, absolutely. Let's say, you know, you're training folks on documentation practices.
Okay.
Instead of just saying, you know, make sure you document every single step, you could present, you know, a case study about a company that actually got a warning letter from the FDA because their batch records weren't complete.
Oh, okay,
Or you could say, hey, you know, this company over here, they completely avoided a recall because their documentation was so meticulous, they could trace, like, the source of the problem.
Right, right. So using those real-world examples to drive the point home.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, with so many, like, potential pitfalls, how do companies even begin to create a training program that covers all the bases?
It can be overwhelming, for sure.
Yeah.
I think a good place to start is with a gap analysis.
Okay.
To assess your current training program and really pinpoint those areas that need improvement.
Okay.
So, you know, think about the specific roles you have in your company, those regulatory requirements they need to know about. And don't forget ongoing training. You know, regulations are always changing. New technologies pop up. Your training has to, you know, evolve with it.
Right. So it sounds like it's a continuous process.
Oh, yeah.
Not a one-time thing.
Exactly. Compliance, it's a journey. It's not the destination.
Right.
And that journey means empowering your people to not just, you know, follow the rules, but understand the why.
Right. I see how that shift in mindset would make a difference. But what about the role of technology in all of this?
Yeah.
We talked about digital documentation.
Yeah.
Are there other ways that technology can be used to, like, enhance compliance training?
Absolutely. You know, we're seeing this rise in these interactive e-learning platforms. Right. You know, they offer engaging modules. You can do quizzes, even simulations.
Oh, wow.
And some platforms even use, like, gamification to make it more interactive and enjoyable.
That's a far cry from those, you know, dry textbook style trainings.
It is. It really is. And these platforms often, they come with analytics dashboards so you can really track how employees are doing, see if there are knowledge gaps, and even like tailor future training based on, you know, individual needs.
So it's not just about, you know, just giving people information. It's about making sure it's absorbed and used effectively.
Exactly. You got it. But, you know, even with the best training in the world, you need systems in place to ensure compliance on the factory floor.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's where real-time monitoring and data analytics come in.
So give me some practical examples of how those technologies could be used to ensure compliance during the injection molding process itself.
Sure. So think about all those critical parameters involved in injection molding, right?
Yeah.
You got temperature, pressure, injection speed, cooling times. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list goes on.
Right.
So with real-time monitoring, you've got these sensors collecting data on all these parameters throughout the whole production run. And then that data is fed into a system and it analyzes it.
All right.
Looking for any deviations from those preset specs.
Right.
So if something falls outside of that acceptable range, boom, an alert goes off.
Oh, wow.
You know, and the operators can immediately take action, you know, do what they need to do to fix it.
So it's like having this, you know, this extra set of eyes constantly watching over the process.
Exactly.
Oh.
And the beauty of this is that, you know, it's not just preventing those defective products.
Right.
It's creating this mountain of data that you can then use to optimize the process even further.
You mentioned predictive analytics earlier. You know, how does that fit into this?
Oh, yeah. So predictive analytics takes things to like a whole nother level.
Oh, yeah?
Instead of just reacting to deviations, it uses all that historical data to anticipate potential problems, you know, before they happen.
Oh, wow.
So imagine a system that can predict, based on, you know, what it's seen before,
yeah,
that a particular mold is, you know, likely to fail in the next few cycles.
Mm-hmm.
This means you can schedule maintenance proactively, minimize downtime, prevent these, you know, really expensive production disruptions.
It's like having a, you know, a crystal ball, but powered by data.
Yeah, I like that.
Right.
And that's really the key takeaway here, I think. You know, technology is becoming so powerful in helping companies get and stay compliant.
Right.
It's not just about ticking boxes anymore.
Yeah.
It's about building a system that ensures quality, minimizes risk, and ultimately protects the company and the consumer.
Yeah. So it sounds like a truly holistic approach.
Yeah.
You know, blending that culture of compliance.
Yeah.
With all of this cutting edge technology.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, we've covered a lot, but there's even more exciting developments coming up. And we'll dive into those in the final part of our, you know, our exploration.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been talking about, you know, FDA compliance for injection molding companies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear that this is an area that's constantly changing.
Yeah, it is. And one of the most exciting things, I think, on the horizon is AI.
AI.
Artificial intelligence in compliance.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. We touched on AI briefly in the last part, but I'm really curious to hear more about its potential impact. I mean, how do you see AI changing the game when it comes to, you know, navigating all those FDA regulations?
So imagine a system that's constantly learning, right?
Oh, yeah.
From this massive data set of FDA regulations, warning letters, inspection reports, I mean, even scientific literature.
Wow, okay.
The system can actually analyze your company's process, you know, the documentation,
mm-hmm,
in real time. And it can identify any potential risks or areas where you might not be compliant before they become these big problems.
So it's like having a virtual FDA expert on call 247.
Exactly, yeah.
Proactively flagging those potential issues.
Yeah.
Before, you know, they snowball.
Exactly. And this isn't just some, you know, sci-fi fantasy.
Right.
I mean, we're already seeing early examples of AI, you know, being used to automate tasks like document review, risk assessment, even things like supplier qualification.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So as that technology gets, you know, more mature,
yeah,
it has the potential to really just revolutionize, I think, how companies approach compliance.
That's incredible. But even with all this, you know, advanced tech, it still comes down to people, right? I mean, someone has to program the AI, interpret the data, make those decisions based on the insights it provides.
You're absolutely right. Technology is a powerful tool, but it's not a replacement for, you know, human expertise and judgment. What AI can do is, you know, free up those compliance professionals from those tedious manual tasks.
Yeah.
So they can focus on, you know, that more strategic and analytical work. It's really about augmenting human capabilities, not, you know, replacing them.
Right. So it's more like a partnership
Yeah.
between humans and machines, each leveraging their their own strengths to create a more robust and efficient system.
I think that's a great way to put it. And that brings us to another really important aspect, I think, of the future of compliance. Collaboration. We're seeing this trend towards companies actually sharing best practices.
Oh, interesting.
And even collaborating on, you know, developing these new compliance technologies.
That's an interesting shift. It seems a little counterintuitive, you know, for companies to share, you know, what could be considered sensitive information with their competitors.
It might seem that way, but more and more companies are realizing that, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, right?
Mm-hmm.
When the whole industry improves its compliance practices, it benefits everybody. It builds that trust with the regulators. It increases consumer confidence.
Right.
And ultimately, it just leads to safer products, you know, more effective products.
So it's a win-win, really, for the industry and the public.
Absolutely.
So what are some, like, concrete examples of how that collaboration is taking shape?
Well, we're seeing industry groups, associations forming these working groups that focus on very specific compliance challenges. They share knowledge. They develop, you know, these industry-wide standards. And some companies are even partnering with, you know, tech providers to actually create these new innovative solutions that can be shared, you know, across the whole industry.
It's inspiring to see companies kind of come together and tackle these challenges, you know, head on.
Mm-hmm.
It really speaks to that importance of, you know, compliance as a shared responsibility.
It does. It does. And it highlights that compliance isn't just about, you know, following the rules.
Right.
It's about continuous improvement and innovation. You know, as regulations change, new tech comes out, that whole compliance landscape is going to keep, you know, shifting.
Right.
So companies that embrace that proactive and collaborative approach, they're going to be the ones that, you know, navigate these changes and thrive in the future.
Well, that's a really powerful message to end on. So compliance, it's not just a box to check.
No.
It's a journey of, you know, continuous learning, adapting, and ultimately, you know, progress.
I think that's a great way to sum it up. And for anyone listening who's, you know, maybe feeling a little overwhelmed by all the complexities of FDA compliance, just remember, you know, you're not alone.
Right.
There's resources out there. There's experts to guide you. There's a whole industry working together to raise the bar.
Well, a huge thank you to you for sharing your expertise with us today.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been a truly enlightening deep dive into the world of, you know, FDA compliance.
My pleasure. And to all our listeners out there, you know, stay curious, stay engaged, and stay committed to building a future where safe, high quality products are the standard, not the exception.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us on The Deep Dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep pushing those boundaries.